Revelation chapter 1 verses 8 through 18. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. After a quick reflection over the first seven verses, I sense a new need to refresh and update my prayer list. We see this revelation like the entire Holy Scripture, given to us from our Heavenly Father in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the Apostles. An important result of my prayers and meditations on the Word is learning my own place and purpose in this amazing program of Christ's Gospel. 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 are teaching us none of Christ's body members has all the gifts. No member of the body is without any gift. The Lord is the giver of gifts and tasks. These opening verses are revealing to us John's condition and position as our Lord prepared him for the revelation. Through John's role, we see more clearly our own. In the very difficult times of severe persecution, John kept clear awareness of value and purpose in all God has appointed for his people. The faithful follow Jesus, who suffered more than all of us. John has his part in Christ's entire work. Now, John is ready to hear the voice of our King of Kings and to share his message. Verse 8. The Lord which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty speaks, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Our Lord declares His presence. As John recorded for us, the Spirit tells us, this is the Lord speaking. He is that same Eternal One, the Almighty, and there is none other. He is giving John his grace and power to be a meaningful part of the first and the last, who is our all in all. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in tribulation, kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John is suffering like the other disciples in that time of tribulation. But this is Christ's suffering in them and through them in this world. He is mighty in patience destroying the darkness. The great empires in the world crumbled into oblivion. Even their languages vanished out of use. Our Lord still saves His faithful. The gate of life everlasting is still open in Christ to all who trust and obey God's Son. To the believing, He gave power to become the children of His Father and His fellow heirs, sharing His grace and suffering here, to partake of His glory eternally. John was in the Isle Patmos for God's word and Christ's testimony. This is a twofold statement. The rulers of the Roman Empire might have banished, imprisoned John to prevent Christ's testimony and teaching from spreading. The Lord appointed this place for John to be the place and time for the revelation of this great message to John. The place, time, and message are testifying to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving His faithful disciples peace and joy in suffering. In persecution or in time of quietness, the genuine believers should be aware of our Lord's presence, power, and purpose in our ministry and the circumstances. Our Lord is in charge and authority. He knows the temporary and eternal values. Our life is His, and all opportunities are provided to us by Him for our benefit and privilege of honoring Him, glorifying our Redeemer, blessing fellow believers, and reaching out to the sinners with the gospel call and example of godly testimony. Verse 10, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he heard behind him a great voice as the sound of a trumpet. The preceding and the following lines explain what the state of being in the Spirit means. Christ's Spirit is guiding faithful believers. At the time of God's special assignments, He makes them free from some natural limits and enables them to receive messages or experience the unusual work of His Spirit in their life. The day of the Lord, I think, was a day God selected for this. It could have been a week or a month. It really doesn't matter. These same words have been used in the Scriptures a number of times for a variety of meanings. We understand the true meaning of each particular time within the text and comparing the similar passages. The words, the first and the last, in the verse 11, seem to encourage readers toward understanding this day of the Lord as the day of salvation, the day of grace. Since our Lord's resurrection until the end of times, all days are His, Lord's. Verse 11, the voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. The voice was coming from a source behind. John was turned away from that source and sensed the need to turn in the direction of the speaker. The words he has heard are full of meaning. Our Lord and Savior has been before the beginning. after the completion of his work and teaching, nobody can add anything. From one generation of disciples to another, we all study, strive, and pray to understand his teaching. We pray for deeper insight into his will recorded for us in his gospel. But none can add anything to God's living word, Jesus Christ, God's Son. For all his redeemed ones, Christ must be the beginning of all intentions and endeavors. He must be the ultimate goal of all our accomplishments. We are his members. The voice commanded John to record the vision as one book, like one epistle, and to distribute to the believers. Every church must receive its specific message and learn the messages addressed to the other churches. All messages are one book. Verse 12. As he turned to see the source speaking, John saw seven golden candlesticks. Turning toward the Lord to hear his word opens our mind to his fresh revelation. The golden candlesticks are the first part of the vision. The next is the central person. Not much description of the golden candlesticks is given here. The next passage describes our Savior's appearance. Another meaningful doctrine of true godliness is revealed here and in the verse number 20. Faithful church is as precious as pure gold. If our church is important to us as much as or more than the Lord Jesus Christ, our vision and understanding lack enlightenment. Our whole church is in danger of idolatrous perils and death. Christ's voice must be the testimony of his church. Verses 13 through 16. In the center of the churches is the presence, like the Son of Man, in a long garment down to his feet. His breast is girded with a golden girdle. The hair on his head is like white wool, as white as snow. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His feet are like brass burning in a furnace. His voice is like waters that flow mightily. In his right hand are seven stars. Sharp two-edged sword proceeds from his lips. His countenance looked like sunshine in its might. John was overwhelmed. Believers and sinners can see local congregations. When a local Christian assembly adores our Lord faithfully and fervently, having charity inside and in live outreach, the loving Lordship of Christ is real and visible to the saved and to the seekers. None of the members has reached Christ's perfection. In the godliest Christian fellowship, there is likeness of Christ's presence, physically, as manifestation of his Holy Spirit's power. His grace is perfect in spite of our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. His appearance is in a long garment here, not as devouring fire, Hebrews 12:29. The Lord Jesus walked among us in the flesh, divested of his eternal heavenly majesty. Now, in the life of his disciples, he is veiled by human imperfections. His breast is girded with gold. When the earthly part of his family is united in his love, we are on his breast as the nameplate of Israel borne by Aaron the priest. His head and his hair indicate his majesty, glory, and the beauty of his holiness. His eyes are penetrating through human masks and makeups. He knows all our needs, and our humble confessions He meets with mercy and grace, burning away our guilt. His feet are uncovered, visible, when we follow Him as brass, not as gold. Among all the feet that ever walked through the heat of suffering in this world, our Blessed Redeemer's feet suffered most intensely, and that with the purpose of redeeming us. He is the pure and perfect treasure, the pure gold and the perfect treasure of the Heavenly Father, eternal, mighty God. We, the members of His body still down here, are not the pure gold that only He is. When we cleave faithfully to Him in our severe testing and endure all trials by His power working in us, we are like His feet of brass or bronze in a furnace flame. Bronze and brass in the high heat resemble gold. If we become cold by the effect of worldly winds, the tarnished brass is very unlike gold, and our gospel testimony, if any, is very weak, but Satan is as a roaring lion. Fervent witness is a trumpet call, a faithful testimony by words and deeds in Christ's Spirit is like a mighty river's flow, refreshing, cleansing, moving onward toward the blessed destiny to adore our glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our eternal ransom and reliance. Now, we are here to serve as His feet, as His voice, as the members of His body. Ezekiel 47 is telling us about the holy water that flows from the sanctuary, excelling without any tributaries, like the glory of the Almighty God, our Father in Christ. Here, John hears the voice of Christ as the sound of many waters. The Lord said that the streams of living water shall flow through His believers, John 7:38. If our power flows from Him, our souls will sail into the ocean of His eternal love and glory. Isaiah 55 is radiating Christ's might. Verses 10 and 11 secure all the faithful in Christ. In His right hand, He holds all the heralds of His gospel message. They herald His judgment day, proclaim the day of grace, to wake up sinners and arm the believers. Every word of His lips is truth and righteousness. His teaching is clear and mighty against evil. He defends His truth and righteousness in us, Hebrews 4:12-13. The spirit of His mouth destroys wickedness by the brightness of His coming, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. In His face is revealed the character and might of the Father, John 14:9. In this world, His might was enshrined in modesty and long-suffering. In this vision, He is seen in splendor of His eternal majesty. John was enabled to see Him in the Spirit. Verse 17, when John saw Him, John fell at His feet as dead. Christ laid His right hand upon John, saying to him, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." In the bliss of our Lord's presence, this faithful disciple feels unworthy to face his Lord so closely. The saving hand of our Redeemer is full of grace, and His words are gentle and powerful encouragement to His beloved ministers. We need not fear, Our Lord is the first, the last, and all in all. In the beginning was God and His Word. John 1:1. Verse 18. He lives forever. He was dead, but is alive evermore. Amen. He has the keys of hell and death. All power is given to Him in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. All power has been His since ever. His suffering and resurrection only prove that. He suffered our soul's death, for us dead. Endured our eternity in hellfire. His dead body left on the crucifix. He appeared to His disciples, the victor, our life giver, our eternal King and Priest. He lives forever, our God the Son, our Savior.